You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, hot news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics lined up for you in sports, entertainment, and odd news. But, you know, sometimes we deviate from, prepared topics.
I like to deviate. Yeah. Just, you could say the word deviant like that.
We're deviants.
Yeah.
Coming at ya.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
So edgy.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. We're rebels.
That's what all rebels say. They say, ooh, yeah. We're
ooh,
rebels.
Yeah. Here we go. I don't know. We wear our leather jackets and we move forward.
And we move forward.
Yes. That's the new motto.
That's such like...
corporate
it's
rebels.
It's such a formal... Yeah, it's such a formal way. Yeah, we move forward.
We move forward.
We progress in an orderly fashion.
Yes. But we're rebels too.
But we're rebels.
Yes.
Would you call it corporate rebels?
Corporate rebels, yeah.
There you go.
All right? That's how we do it.
We have our leather ties, but we had leather ties.
Leather ties. Yes, excellent.
I was going to say leather jackets and ties.
Everything's leather. You can do leather jacket. You can do leather pants. You could do
I'm sure they have
leather. Why not a leather
I'm sure they
tie?
Have leather ties. I'm going to look it up.
There you go. And let's buy some.
That's right. They do. They have leather ties.
There we go. Let's
you can buy one
is
for
it on Amazon?
No.
No! I got Prime. It's about time I put it to use.
What is this? Genuine leather skinny ties.
There you go. Order that.
$19 on Amazon.
Here we go. Is it Prime? There you go. Put it up.
No, actually, it's not Prime.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
That's it. They lose. Bastards.
No way. I don't believe it.
Oh, come on, Amazon. Step up
it's
your
really
leather tie game.
It's yeah. really, really disappointing.
All right, we need some.
This is just a leather box. It's not a tie.
What?
I mean, this is not what I asked for, Amazon.
Oh, all right. Amazon's messing up already.
Anyway.
We're not even 2 minutes in the show. Amazon's messing up.
Damn you, Amazon.
All right, come on. Get your gear together.
All right, we should get back to what we're actually
oh, yes.
talking about.
Whoops. I totally
forgot.
We
got so sidetracked there.
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Yep. All right. Ric Flair's telling us to get back into form here.
That's what happens when I Google stuff.
Yeah. Before we go over the list of topics that we have prepared for you, we like to do a little intro and let you know what we've been up to since our last broadcast. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the past week? What's going on?
I watched the movie Don't Breathe over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
A cool...
Scary movie?
A little horror movie. I had mentioned it many, many months ago in This Week in Entertainment, and as I usually do, I completely ignore my advice until months later.
Great.
And then I finally catch up on all of it, so I got a chance to watch this movie. It was an enjoyable, unique twist on the horror genre. It was like a slasher flick, but not... really a slasher flick. It was more suspense than horror. It was a thriller, rather, I should say.
Okay.
And the gist of it is that some 20-somethings break into a house for one last score, right? They're going to rob this person because he supposedly has a lot of money tucked away. The catch, though, is that he is a blind veteran. So I think it's going to be easy. But, you know, things go horribly wrong. And
he turns into Daredevil.
He's kind of, yeah. He has, like, super hearing and, like, not super hearing and super smell, but he uses his sense of hearing and his knowledge of the layout of his house. And I don't know why his basement is, like, four times as big as the house itself. It was a really, really strange movie.
It was a bunker.
Well, without going into spoilers, once they get into the basement, it takes a hard left turn and then another hard left turn. Really crazy
Is
stuff
two
happens.
Two more left turns because then you ended up back where you are.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's two hard lefts and then a hard right, and then you follow that road down past that big tree. And then when you get to that building at the corner, That's when you get to your destination. That's how I give directions. People that don't know, I'm terrible at directions. That's how I give directions in real life. But anyway, the movie takes some wild twists and turns. I highly recommend it for somebody looking for a horror movie that's not explicitly horror, but trending more towards the thriller genre. And just you're ready for like a weird, weird movie.
Okay.
Because it gets very, very strange.
That sounds right up my alley.
I think you might enjoy it. It gets really, really strange there near the end.
All right.
It keeps you on the edge of your seat.
All right,
so that's important. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I was doing. What have you been up to, Rich?
Last week was Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We're waiting for the results on how much food we collected for Phil Abundance.
If you had to give a guesstimate, do they have any rough estimates?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it either matched or beat last year's.
Wow. Well, that's what you like to hear.
It was crazy. It was pandemonium.
Nice.
But it was all worth it, and I think it's gonna either match or do better than last year's, crazy because last year we hit 1 million pounds.
Wow,
so
that's insane.
Yeah, I think it's gonna either match it or do better than that. So that was all week, and then I pretty much just rested and recovered this weekend because
just passed out.
It takes a lot out of you, even if it's only like 1 or 2 days you're working camp out, like. The fact that you got to get up at like 4 or 5 in the morning it zaps you.
I mean, our recording schedule was a little strange because you were working like real early mornings, yeah. 2 of the nights or 2 of the days. I don't know how you did it, man.
Yeah.
All those hours.
I needed the weekend to recover. I needed it. Like,
you needed the full weekend.
Yeah. Like, I know
you
like,
basically like did like winter hibernation,
yeah,
really early.
Like I know, yeah, a couple people were like, "Oh, Rich, you should come out Friday night." I'm like, no, "I can't, I'm tapping out."
Well, yeah, after all week of doing all that, yeah, you know, for a good cause though,
yeah, and it was all worth it. And also, in the middle of all this that happened, the Thursday night of camp out, at Wells Fargo Center was the Shinedown concert.
Okay.
So, cool. In the middle of all this, I went to a Shinedown concert as well.
Might as well. You're right there.
Yeah, just in case my feet, you know, weren't you know, hurting enough. I figured, you know, why not stand during a whole set of Shinedown in 6 a.m. They were the opener, which I was actually pretty surprised at.
Never heard of them.
6 a.m. It's a band from Nikki Sixx. He's a pretty famous rock bassist and guitarist. And they actually put on a pretty good show. I was pleasantly surprised at 6 a.m. And then I was there for Shinedown. I love Shinedown. They were with Five Finger Death Punch, which I'm not really a big fan of.
I have not heard of them, Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah, they're kind of more like mosh metal.
That's not really my thing.
I'm not big into moshing and getting punches thrown in my face. That's not really my thing.
It never really appealed to me.
Yeah.
I'm more of like a pacifist, like... You know,
yeah.
I don't feel like getting involved in all that.
Yeah, I like all my teeth where they are.
Teeth are nice.
Yeah, yeah,
especially where they're supposed to be.
Right. So I didn't really stick around for Five Finger Death Punch, but Shinedown was where it was at for me, and I love Shinedown. If you have not seen Shinedown in concert, you need to go see them. They put on a great show. And yeah, that was my Thursday night.
Wow. So you had a very, very busy week.
Yeah. And therefore, the weekend was kaput. That was just I slept and watched Netflix and
hey, Netflix is awesome.
Prevented. In my opinion, I think prevented getting sick because I think that's I think that's what does it is if you do like a week like camp out or something or you know maybe you know a week where you do another charity event or a week you do I don't know maybe like camping or something like that and then you don't take the time to rest afterwards.
Right. Right.
If you try to just jump right back into things, I think that's when you get like exhausted and you get sick.
Well, after a while, your body just starts wearing down.
Yeah.
You know, you don't give it a chance to, you know, catch back up and get back into a regular cycle. Here we are giving health advice.
Here we are, yeah. Crispy Noodle Hospital Headquarters.
Yes, the hospital headquarters.
Yeah, which is oddly located in the same as our main headquarters. Whoops.
It's a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
You go, you get your podcast, you get your tonsillectomy, you know,
You get our medication, which is just booze.
That's right, yeah. Booze and a hearty laugh.
Yes.
That's the best medicine. Mm.
That's another thing, too, is I haven't really had a chance to, like, drink. I know that sounds like an alcoholic. But
what do you think? Oh, I got to schedule in my drinking. What are you talking about?
Like, because the camp out, and then
you want to go out drinking.
Yeah, I want to have a drink again. Yeah. Like, I haven't had like a drink in like forever. It seems.
You want a beer?
Sounds like I'm an alcoholic.
Just a tiny bit. Oh man, I'm really craving it.
It seems like a while.
No, you know what though? I will say this. You know,
hey, folks, I'm Rich the alcoholic.
Hi Rich.
How you doing?
No, I will say this though, to defend you and make you seem less
Thank
like
you.
An alcoholic.
Thank you.
You know, I just got over that bad cough, that sinus infection. I was on antibiotics. You can't really drink when you're taking antibiotics. They really recommend against it. So I finished the course of that. And I was thinking to myself...
Oh, yeah, when you lost your voice and...
Yeah, when I lost my voice. So this past weekend, you know, I was finally off of it. I'm watching the Eagles game, and I'm like, you know what? I really need a beer.
There you go.
And so for the first time in, like, 2 weeks, and it was just... It hit the spot. It was amazing. It was Miller Lite, so it wasn't even that great. But it was delicious.
Sorry. Any chance of a sponsorship with Miller Lite just went out the window.
Right out the window.
Great.
$1 billion deal straight out the window. Tore up the contract. But no, to make you feel like less of an alcoholic, I totally get what you're saying. After 2 weeks, I was like, I could really use just a spot of something.
Thank you.
And hit the sweet spot.
Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that's in the middle of all this.
I don't think that's the type of drinking you're talking about. But,
but you know what? That kind of drinking we are talking about after you watched the Eagles this weekend.
Yeah, you need some booze to get through that one.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's a good transition into our first batch of topics that we have for you. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
This is... should we start off with the Eagles? I don't even know. after this horrible game that we had... I know, I'm switching up the order.
Yeah, no, we can start off with the Eagles. Yeah, let's just get it out of the way. Screw it. We're rebels.
A drink. You know what?
I still have some of those Miller Lite if you want some.
How about I talk about the Eagles? You go grab Miller Lights.
You want to do that?
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Okay, all right.
Goodbye.
So Mike's gonna go get some Miller Lights. We're actually gonna start drinking on the podcast. That's how bad the Eagles are getting. We're gonna be live drinking here on this week's episode of the podcast because the Eagles dropped a big game against the Bengals. Thank you. And Mike didn't think I was serious about this.
No, I called his bluff.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, here, let's open
three,
it up.
3, 2, 1.
There you go.
Oh, man, cheers.
Yeah, cheers. I'm glad you could hear it on the microphone.
Yeah, I know. That worked out really well.
All right. So you got
that was totally impromptu.
Yeah, awesome. Good. This is real.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, God.
All right, we need that.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, they dropped a bad one to the Bengals. And the Bengals are terrible. They're 4-7-1.
Yep.
4-7-1. They're in the AFC North, the worst division in football.
Yeah.
They lost 32-14.
And that actually, that score kind of makes it almost sound close. Folks, at one point during the game on Sunday, the Eagles were down 29-0.
Yeah, I know. You look at the 32-14, and you're like, okay, they didn't get shut out. That garbage time. Garbage time points is what it was. They didn't score until what? I think it's like halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah.
You know, does it count at that point?
No, it doesn't count. That's garbage time.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count. So you might as well make it 32-0.
Yeah, it was definitely a very ugly game here. I mean...
So
usually we do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
There is no good.
Yeah. Is there even any good to mention here?
No.
Yeah.
Let's go over the bad. I mean, everything really is bad. But for me, one of the really...
Other than the fact that we're drinking already.
Other than the fact that we're already drinking like 10 minutes into the podcast.
I gotta admit, though, this is hitting the spot.
It does hit the spot, right?
Thanks, Mike.
Cold Miller Lite.
Keep this up. I'm going to be drunk by the end of the podcast. Here we go.
Well, you always say you want to do the drunk episode.
I know, but I wasn't planning on it for this week.
You weren't planning on doing it on a weeknight.
Yeah, right? That's the problem. Yeah. Is I want to do a drunk episode, but, you know, during a week.
Not have to worry about work the next day.
Yeah, right? That's kind of a problem.
Kind of puts a damper on things.
Yeah.
You know what else puts a damper on things, though? Carson Wentz. I can't believe.
That was a great transition. Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah! I'm a DJ!
Because God knows the Eagles can't transition from a third down to a first down.
There you go.
Carson Wentz, 36 for 30. 300 yards!
Because they were just chucking the ball.
Yeah, but three interceptions.
I think he had 60 pass attempts.
He did, 36 out of 60. Three interceptions, though. So, has Carson Wentz regressed? What is wrong with Carson Wentz?
It's interesting that you phrase it like that, because I actually was reading a couple of insider articles on ESPN, and a lot of throwing coaches have been noticing that his I want to say wind up, but
his mechanics,
but specifically when he cocks the ball back, he's doing kind of more of a roundabout,
like he's like swinging it around,
is more like baseball. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have like a quick movement where the elbow goes straight up and then you throw it.
Yeah.
You do it for a couple reasons. It's supposed to actually increase your accuracy, and it's supposed to get the ball out of your hands quicker. And a lot of passing experts have been noticing that Wentz hasn't been doing that.
Yeah, it messes up your timing, right? If you have that huge, your receiver's open, you have like a split second to make that decision and throw that football. And if you're wasting your time doing a weird baseball pitch windup, the wide receiver isn't open anymore.
Yeah.
So it messes up your timing, like you said, your accuracy. They actually showed snapshots of like each individual frame in the throwing motion. And there's at one point his arm is like backwards and the football's upside down and it's
Because he's doing like almost like a pitching windup.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's like if everybody just pretends like they're like doing a windmill with their arm. That's how he's throwing.
Yeah, which is not the way you want your first round quarterback to be throwing.
No, this was a concern coming out of college.
That's how Brett Favre throws. All right.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Well, we should have Carson Wentz throw with his feet.
Ooh.
Yeah, now there's an idea.
Interesting.
But on a serious note, they had...
Go back to drinking, Mike.
Yeah, no, I might. But the fans need to hear this because we have such excellent analysis.
Yeah, yes.
But actually, we do it in this case because I want to point out something about Carson Wentz. And the fact that this was the concern coming out of college was his throwing mechanics. And that was part of the reason why he was supposed to sit this season, was because Doug Peterson, former quarterback, and their quarterback's coach, also a former quarterback, were supposed to coach this kid up on his mechanics. Then, of course, the Sam Bradford deal happens, and he goes from third string to first string.
Very fast.
And I'm already burping because of the beer.
Yep, there you go.
So they didn't get to work on his mechanics. And early in the season, you know, it worked because they were firing on all cylinders. The defense was working. The offense was sort of covering up those terrible deficiencies.
Yeah, and you didn't need Wentz to be the focal point of the offense.
No.
I mean, I remember the first couple of games, he was only throwing 20, 25 passing attempts.
Yeah, you know,
he wasn't doing that much.
No, not many passes. He was a
Now he's up to 60?
60, that is insane.
Yeah.
That is insane. When you look, and I don't understand. I don't understand. You have a rookie quarterback, you're going on the road, rookie head coach, and you're dialing up 60 pass plays. Okay, this isn't McNabb and Andy Reid. This is a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback on the road. You don't call 60 pass plays.
Nope.
You don't, especially not with the weapons or lack of weapons we have. When you have guys like, Paul Turner and Bryce Treggs, these are practice squad wide receivers that are on this team. Paul Turner led our receivers. He was just brought up from the practice squad a week ago.
That shows you the state of our receiving core.
It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. I don't know what to make of this receiving core. I don't know how we get. I don't know how we get past this.
You don't this season.
No, this season is just a write off. Well, here's a question: Is the season over? Do we win another one?
Well, we might win another one, but this season's over. They're not going to make the playoffs. The division's far too tough. It's probably
The division's gone.
Yeah. Cowboys already clinched a playoff spot. Yeah. Giants are probably going to get one of the wild card spots.
Easily.
Yeah, it's done for the Eagles this season.
Yeah. So it's time to start thinking about next season already. I hear the Eagles are planning to pursue DeSean Jackson in the offseason.
Yeah, because, you know, he's not old or anything.
He's old, but he's three times as good as any of the wide receivers on our team. You're telling me you wouldn't take DeSean Jackson?
I would think if you take DeSean Jackson, that is a simple Band-Aid. That is not a...
No.
That doesn't solve the problem.
No, but you know what
But
you know what it does do? It brings in a veteran wide receiver that can coach up those young guys. The most veteran wide receiver is Jordan Matthews. This is his third year, Rich. Okay? He's not a veteran wide receiver. DeSean Jackson can come in, bring 9 years of experience. He can stretch the field. He can take the pressure off the young guys. He can let Jordan Matthews work inside where he does best. He can let Nelson Agholor get open easier. DeSean Jackson will help.
How about his injury history? That doesn't scare you a little bit?
The injury history does scare me, but I think we can get him for cheap, especially considering that he wants to come back here. A lot of teams think that he will come back here. A lot of teams are saying that they're thinking the Eagles are going to pursue him. DeSean Jackson has implied that he would love to come back here. He has great respect for Doug Peterson, you know, because Doug Peterson came up under the Andy Reid coaching tree. So it seems like a perfect match. DeSean Jackson coming back to the Eagles to give Carson Wentz a little bit of help until the Eagles can draft a wide receiver or train up one of these young guys.
Okay. Well,
you don't like the DeSean Jackson route?
To me, it just...
So what's the answer? Do you take our first round pick and go wide receiver again?
I think you might have to do free agency for a big name.
But is the money
receiver
there? We just gave Fletcher Cox $100 million. He's not playing up to that contract right now.
Yeah.
So where do we get the money to get that big-name wide receiver? And who do we go after? Alshon Jeffrey with his off-the-field issues?
Yeah, the field is very thin right now.
I think DeSean Jackson is the stopgap answer. The next 2 or 3 years, we can use him to take the pressure off those running backs, take the pressure off the young wide receivers, and oddly enough, he can be a role model.
Oh, my God. No, 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 no. He can't be a role model.
He's got the experience. He has 9 years in the NFL compared to Jordan Matthews' 3.
Do me a favor. Next time that he catches an 80-yard bomb and he drops the ball right before he goes into the end zone, let me know how much of a role model he is then.
Who's the best Eagles wide receiver we've had in the past 10 years? DeSean Jackson. DeSean
Jackson. Above.
What are you talking? He had 3 Pro Bowl years in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but
you're just like my brother. My brother doesn't like DeSean Jackson either.
Yeah,
do you know what he did for this offense?
I don't trust him. That's my biggest problem with DeSean Jackson is I can't trust him. He's the one that will do a dumb mistake like dropping the ball at the 1 yard line. Or
yeah, but you know what? For every one of those, he's catching 80-yard passes. He's making these stunning punt returns.
No. You make it sound like he's doing this every game, all right? But
make it sound like he drops the ball every game.
Because you know what? I had him on my fantasy team 1 year.
Oh,
all right?
Oh, fantasy.
Yeah.
That's the key to everything.
Yes.
Whether they perform in fantasy.
Right. And you know what he is?
What?
You call him a boom or bust player. Some days, he'll put up a big freaking goose egg for your team, and there's other days where, yes, he will catch the 80-yard
pass. But even those
days
when he's putting up the goose egg, it's because they're rolling safeties to his side, they're double covering him, he's pulling coverage downfield so that they're not stacking 8-9 guys in the box. Look what the alcohol's doing to us, Rich.
Yeah.
It's tearing us apart.
It is already.
Tearing us apart.
Oh, God!
I can't stand it! But...
I think if the Eagles go DeSean Jackson, I think that's a temporary Band-Aid.
I think they almost have to, though.
I think that's
until they figure out something else.
I think that's a 1 or 2 year experiment at the most.
Why don't they bring DeSean Jackson in and go to free agency?
That would be
the optimal situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the cap space for that. Jason Peters is gone. Save some cap there. Connor Barwin is gone. Save some cap there. I don't want to get in the, I don't want to.
That'd be sad. Barwin goes.
It would be sad. He's been great, and he's a great guy off the field too. But
yeah. He actually stopped by camp out.
Oh, did he?
Did you
get to meet him?
No, I think he came. He came during one of the shifts. I wasn't there.
That bastard!
Damn it! Cut! He didn't show
That's
up.
It. He's gone.
Damn it! But no, he's a good guy. I hope he doesn't get cut. But I don't know. I just The Sean Jackson doesn't sound to me like a good solution.
No,
not
a long term, and he's not meant to be a long term solution.
Just doesn't. I don't know. I don't trust it. That's my problem.
Okay.
I guess I'm with Bruno then on this.
Yeah, you are. You guys have short term memory. He did a lot of good for this team while he was here.
Okay. let's. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, we totally destroyed the order of this.
It's the beer, man.
It's the beer, man.
How about we go into the two-minute drill then?
Sure. Why the hell not?
Try and get
it's
back.
Topsy-turvy night.
Right. Try and get back to the order that we had planned out. It's funny because we do. We have an order that we plan out like an
outline. We have an outline.
And so, yeah, sometimes I throw a curveball at Mike.
That's all right. Hey, we run with it, right?
Yeah.
Look, if you didn't throw the curveball, we wouldn't have had the beer. We wouldn't have had that great discussion about the Eagles being terrible.
Perfect.
Right? It all works out.
Yep. So let's launch into this segment. We got two topics to hit really fast in the two-minute drill. Let's launch it. Mike, what do you have? Go.
All right. Well, this week in the two-minute drill, we have football news. What else? As you mentioned earlier, the Dallas Cowboys are officially the first team in the NFL to clinch a playoff spot in the 2016 season. Their close 17-15 win against the Minnesota Vikings propelled the team to 11-1 and the top of the entire NFC.
No way! I don't believe it!
I wish I could agree, but God, it kills me to say there's no denying they're the best team of football right now.
Right now.
But are you hoping they stumble near the end?
Hey, we've seen this happen with the Packers, with the Steelers. You know, you can have the best record, and then guess what? You go out in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, one of those surprise fifth or sixth seed teams.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. You don't want to blow your load early.
That wouldn't surprise me with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back leading your team. I think it's possible.
Not to mention the Cowboys have a history of messing up near the end.
In the playoffs, yeah.
I really hope so. I really hope that's the case because I cannot stand – I would not be able to stand it if we had to watch an entire playoffs of Cowboys football.
Dear God.
Oh my gosh. I can't think of a fate worse than that.
I'm going to keep drinking.
Yeah, you keep drinking. I'm going to read this next news article. Denver Broncos outside linebacker Von Miller recently gave the entire AFC West a bottle of wine as a sign of appreciation. He gifted all the players in the division, including those on practice squads and on injured reserve lists. His note that he included with each bottle of wine reads, in part, "It is an honor and a privilege to take the field and compete with you twice a year." This is a classy move by a classy guy.
Yeah.
This was a great sentiment, I think, by Von Miller.
That's very nice for that division.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, if this happened in the NFC East...
Oh, boy.
No.
Uh-uh. No.
Poison all the wine.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Poison it.
It's all poison. Don't drink it.
Kill them all.
Yeah.
So what random topic did we jump to next?
after
should throw a dart at the board?
All right, yeah. You know what we should do? You know what? I'm going to try and barely hold this sports sampler together.
Hold it together.
And try and group all the NFL news together. So how about we launch into the Fantastic Four picks?
Let's do it. Fantastic Four picks.
Yeah, so let's launch into... four games that we think you should keep an eye out and watch and give you our predictions on. Big four games for week number 14. There we go. The music's playing. Mike, what's our first game?
Well, first up, we have an amazing AFC West rivalry. This is going to be a fantastic matchup. The Oakland Raiders travel to Kansas City to face off against the Chiefs. I don't even know where to begin with this one. The Oakland Raiders have been stellar on offense. The Chiefs, while not great statistically, keep winning games with a defense that surprises many people based on their stats. Rich, how do you figure this one out?
Yeah, this is going to be tough because not only are both of these teams very good, it's a division game. Both of these teams just have incredible players behind them. Both of them could make a run deep into the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, I'm going to go with Oakland just because Derek Carr might be having an MVP season. He is just peaking at the right time lately, late in the season. The Chiefs, I still can't trust the offense. Even though they pulled out a good win against the Falcons last week, I think that might be the difference. So very slim, I'm going to go with the Raiders, but that one is going to be a great game. What is this, the Thursday night game?
Thursday night game.
Why did that get stuck at the Thursday night game?
The NFL needs to figure that out. Yeah. I heard they're thinking about getting rid of it, so hopefully they do, because this is a fantastic game.
Or it's going to give me a reason to drink more.
There you go. So, you know what, though? Despite your alcohol-fueled pick, I'm gonna have to agree with you. Yeah. I make it seem like you've just been slamming them back all night.
What's going on?
But I am going to have to agree, though. The Oakland Raiders are playing phenomenal football right now. Like you said, Derek Carr is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. They seem really well put together on all sides of the football. Kansas City Chiefs, that defense is good, but, you know, it's sometimes shaky on third down, allowing close to 48% conversion rate on third down. As well as the fact that they also won the first matchup. Usually, these teams split their matchups, you know, division rivalries this close, this tight between two very good teams. I'd be shocked if the Kansas City Chiefs were able to beat the Raiders again. So I'm going with the Raiders as well in a road victory. Next up, we have another division game, an NFC East division rivalry, where the Cowboys travel to the Meadowlands to face off against the New York Giants Sunday, December 11th at 8:30 p.m. Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. You put this.
Sorry, no. No, they're all primetime games. I had like all these primetime games I was losing track of. Yeah, it is Sunday, 8:30. Sunday night game. Rich, how do you feel about this one? I mean, is there really any choice here?
This is Cowboys versus Giants.
Yeah.
All right, here's my solution. I don't know if you can pick that up, but
that was a big swig.
Yeah, I just chugged half of that by
the sound of that, I'm thinking you're picking Cowboys.
Yeah.
Look, the Giants have one of the worst rushing attacks in the league. They're only average in everything else. The Cowboys, I mean, their offense is on fire. Their defense is getting the job done. They're winning close games. Rich continues to drink. I don't know. It really, like, it kills me every time I say this. I don't know how you don't pick the Cowboys in this matchup. I really hope we're wrong, but I'm going Cowboys too.
Okay, what's next?
Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens traveling to New England to face off against the New England Patriots. This is an interesting one. The Ravens atop the AFC North. The Patriots atop the AFC East. How do you figure this one out? The Ravens at 7-5, do they stand a chance against the 10-2 Patriots?
They actually do, because the Patriots are actually hurting right now. They lost Gronk for the rest of the season. They also possibly lost Amendola, too. So the Patriots are actually hurting. They might actually have their hands full in this one. The Ravens have been one of those teams that just pull out these weird wins, and right now they're on top of the AFC North. But I think the Patriots still have the edge because this is in Foxborough. They have home field advantage. I'm going to go with the Patriots, but it would not surprise me if the Ravens pull an upset here.
Yeah, you know what? At first I thought you were going to pick the Ravens there, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know. I know the Patriots are down on offense. I know the Ravens have that stellar defense, but it's the Patriots at home.
Right.
You know, and it's so tough to beat them at home, especially late in the season.
Yep.
If any team could do it, it could be the Ravens, but you just don't pick against the Patriots.
Not at home.
I might end up being wrong here, but I can't bring myself to do it.
Not at home.
No. Not at home. They're too good. They're too proven. Tom Brady just broke Peyton Manning's record of most wins by an NFL quarterback.
Yep.
There's a reason for that. I'm picking the Patriots as well. And finally, oh boy, get another can of beer. It's another NFC East rivalry as the Washington Redskins come to town to face off against the Eagles. Rich, what the hell is going to happen in this one?
What? Eagles are home? Sure.
Sure.
I don't know. Is
that like one of those A or B questions and you just say yes?
Yeah, I mean, oh, God.
The Redskins are going to win. I'm just telling you right now, the Redskins are going to win.
Even if the Eagles do win, it's too little too late. I don't know. Maybe the Eagles win because they're at home.
After a loss like that, they've given up.
They're 4-1 at home. Maybe they catch some lightning in a bottle back
home. Maybe.
Or this is one of those times when we're all expecting the Eagles to lose, and then all of a sudden they'll just randomly win.
41-3.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Calling it now. No, I think the Eagles are going to lose for a few reasons. One, they just came off that terrible loss. Two, they look completely lost and wayward. Fletcher Cox is not playing up to his normal level. The wide receivers have never been good. Carson Wentz is regressing. The coaching staff, they have not been able to keep these players disciplined and on task. They're avoiding contact in games.
Oh, yeah. Do you see that missed block by Zach Ertz?
It's despicable.
Random thought.
Well, no, it's an appropriate thought because I don't know how the Eagles win another game this year if they've given up already. If they've given up on the field on an away game, why are they going to show up for a home game against a division rival? You know, it just, I don't think they have it in them this season. After all is said and done, I think the Redskins are going to win. Yeah.
All right, there you go. And perfectly timed to end the Fantastic Four picks there. So there you go there. All right, let me get to this topic real quick. I know. I want to get...
It's just completely... Okay, nobody can see the rundown. We did not have everywhere. A single segment
in order. No, but we're jumping. Keep up. Here we go.
The order we planned out, none of these topics fell in the correct place. Go ahead.
It happened.
What's the next topic?
All right. One more topic for the Sports Sampler. We did so much about the NFL that I feel like we have to talk a little bit, just a smidge, about college football.
If we have to. I know it's football, but it's not real football.
It's college football, man.
College football. If you have to add college in front of it, it's not. Anyway.
Well,
college football.
You know what? Don't say that to, you know, a couple of towns in America.
College football is bigger than professional football.
Yeah, in some areas it is.
Those people are crazy. But anyway. Yeah.
So the national championship bracket has been set. For those that don't know, college football, just what they do is they essentially pick the top four football programs that a selection committee judges to be the best, and they have them play a playoff, a four-team playoff, which is kind of silly to me.
That is silly. That's
too small. And the winner of the four-team playoff is the national champion. With that in mind, there was a lot of discussion that this year's Penn State team should have been included in it. The primary qualifications are the fact that Penn State won the Big Ten conference this year.
Okay.
And they had a huge win over number two ranked Ohio State, who is in the playoffs.
Okay. So they actually beat one of the playoff teams.
Right.
For everybody to understand, their record is very good as well.
Oh, yeah. The 11-2. Wow. And one of the losses was against number four Michigan, who also made the playoffs. So, look, we could have this discussion. Should Penn State be in it? All that jazz. It's a shame that Penn State won't be in the national championship.
Yeah.
Instead, they're going to have to settle for the Rose Bowl, which is still prestigious.
It is prestigious.
Yeah. I like to view it kind of like WWE, where Penn State is going for the Intercontinental Championship, where...
I relate things to football, and you relate things to wrestling.
Yes, all right.
That's why this show works.
That's, yeah, right?
Put me in a cage with that S.O.B. Please put me in a cage! A cage! A cage!
Woo! Yeah, put me in a cage.
So, you were going to say, this is like WWE, in that they must meet in a cage.
Well, no, they're not going to meet in a cage. But in terms of... the prestige of how everything breaks down. I mean, it's still nothing to scoff at. The Rose Bowl is very important, and to win the Rose Bowl would be a huge honor for Penn State. But it's like the Intercontinental Championship. It is a prestigious championship to win in WWE.
But it's not.
But it's not the WWE. It's not the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is a little bit of a gyp for Penn State that they didn't make it in the national bracket, especially when they had that huge win over Ohio State. I thought these judges are basing the top four teams based on the quality of wins and how they played throughout the entire season.
But
Penn State did a great job.
But that's so vague and subjective, isn't it?
It is, and that's part of the problem.
That is part of the problem. It's because here you have a team that beat one of the playoff teams, lost to another playoff team, won their conference. How do you not How's that team not in the conversation?
And not just any conference, a major conference.
Yeah, that is
Big Ten.
It's got the word "big" in it, so you know it's big.
Yes.
That's how college football works, right?
Yes, sure.
They have the Big Ten. They have the Little 11.
They have Little 11. Yeah,
yeah.
Minor 12.
This is why I hate college football. I don't get it. The Big Ten. What does that even mean? I guess there's 10 teams and they're big.
And yeah, they're huge. Like Ohio State, Wisconsin. Like yeah, major college football towns.
Okay,
towns where if you say the NFL is better than college football, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Fine. I don't care. The NFL is still better. You know why it's better? The playoff structure. I still maintain that the NFL has the best playoff structure, the best playoff system of any professional or amateur sport. How do you take a sport, college football, with hundreds of teams, and you have four in the playoffs? Even basketball has 64.
Yeah, right? for college basketball,
I'm not saying have 64 teams, but what's wrong with...
Eight.
What's wrong with a 12-team playoff structure like the NFL?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I think the biggest...
Make them more money, right?
I think the biggest theme that this year's national championship playoff system has shown is the NCAA should probably go to 8 teams.
Yeah.
Because a 4-team playoff is ridiculous. It's just arbitrary.
It's silly. Yeah. It is. How do you pick 4 teams... From all these other teams, you have all these conferences where the top team in each conference, hypothetically, should deserve to be there, right?
Right. So why not have an 8-team playoff structure so that teams like Penn State and...
They have a shot.
Yeah, they have a shot.
Give them a shot. They deserve to be there. 11-2, beat a playoff team, won their conference. They deserve.
The same. By the way, the same conference that Ohio State is in.
Yeah.
Go figure that out.
Hey, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, you're telling me that Penn State won the conference.
But they're not they're not in the national championship.
That's like if Dallas won the NFC East and we're like, no, the Eagles are going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's exactly what, I mean, not quite.
Yeah, well.
Not quite.
Yeah.
But almost.
They want to pick the team in last place.
But almost.
They would pick like the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah. The Giants get the number one seed.
Yeah.
And Dallas would be upset. Well, guess what? Penn State fans are upset. Because it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. I
didn't realize that. Now that I realize that, I'm even more infuriated.
Right. So the bottom line is I think this this year's college football season has shown that we need to have an 18 playoff.
Yeah.
At least 8.
Every sport, professional or amateur, should try and mimic the NFL as closely as possible. And I don't say that comically because I love the NFL. I mean the NFL has one of the best playoff systems in the world.
Yeah. I don't know if football would go 12 teams, but I don't see why 8.
8 sounds like a good middle ground.
Yeah.
4 is too few. 12 might be too
much. There's enough
bowl
games. Come on. And if not, make up more crap.
Really? Why do they have all these bowl games? The Tostitos Bowl?
Right.
The Rose Bowl?
The O.com Bowl? Come on.
Oh, come on.
All right.
At least give them better names. O.com?
Something like that.
What is that?
I made that one up.
Oh, okay. it doesn't surprise me,
though. Yeah, wouldn't surprise you, right?
God.
I think there's a FedEx Bowl or something.
FedEx Bowl, yeah.
So,
isn't the Tostitos Bowl? Or
yeah,
the Fiesta,
that's one.
Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah. So, why not?
I mean, Fiesta and Rose Bowl make sense. Right.
Why not? I don't understand.
Take some of those teams and throw them in the playoffs.
Make it an 18 playoff bracket, and I think it's more fair.
Get on it, college.
Yeah.
I just said college.
Yeah, college in general.
Come on, college.
You college guys suck.
Yeah. Ugh.
Let us go back to our Miller Lite and our NFL games.
That's right.
Dear God. Well, you know what? We're finishing our Miller Lite.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I think that means we're going to wrap up the sports sampler for now. Hopefully we're not too drunk. Because we still have the entertainment entree coming up, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. I remember the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount
of beer. Right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, but coming up next, we have the second portion of our show. The main course, if you will, of the broadcast. Is that right, Mike?
That's right. It is the main serving in this meal for your mind. It's one of the most entertaining segments, I think. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
This gets out, it could generate sympathy for the rebellion in the Senate.
Hey, Bill, what I said, including my remarks right afterward, she said it was very unfair the way the
she'll
media...
She'll die before she'll tell you anything.
You've known me for a long time, Bill. I do get along with people. I deal with foreign countries. I've made a lot of money dealing against China. I've made a lot of...
Plans are not aboard this ship, and no transmissions were made.
I just released my financials, and people were amazed at how good they are. They're great. And I did something, you know, I employ thousands of people. I employ, you know, I don't know if you saw, but the Nevada poll just came out, and it was fantastic.
Yes, someone by Aurelnaut on YouTube decided to take a couple of things that Trump has said, put it through the Vader machine, and actually reinsert it into Star Wars. And I think it actually fits pretty good.
I like it. I think you did a very good job.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have two more clips here for
you. Okay. I'm loving this. Yeah, let's
hear them. That was for those that don't know, that was from the original Star Wars, A New Hope.
Right.
This is also from A New Hope. This is the first time Vader chokes someone.
Okay.
But... here you go. This is Darth Trump, how he would have handled it.
I'm a very, very strong believer in Christianity and religion, but...
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes, or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels hidden.
I deal with foreign countries. I've made a lot of money dealing against China. I've made a lot of money dealing against many other countries. I have a great relationship. In a Business Week poll, they said, who do you most prefer? You know, they talked about...
Vader, release him.
Guarantee you I would have had him out.
That's great.
I love it. Like, it actually, a lot of it matches up.
It does.
Which is a little bit scary and funny at the same time,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So, those first two clips were in A New Hope.
Right.
This last clip here that I have pulled up is actually from Empire Strikes Back. When Vader is finding the rebels on Hoth. So, this is how Vader would have handled that situation.
Whoa! The rebels!
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
You don't have to be a total genius to figure this out, even though I am a genius, okay? I'm more militaristic than anybody in this room, just so you understand. I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way, but only when we win. By the way, when was the last time we won a war?
And there you go.
Oh, boy.
Darth Trump.
It fits a little too well.
Yeah, right?
There's a disturbance in the force. Isn't it? Oh, boy.
So,
That was good. That was beautiful.
I had to play that mashup. There's actually a full, 6 minutes of it.
Wow.
So if you want to check out the entire thing, just search Darth Trump.
I'm going to have to look up the rest of that.
Yeah, but I think those were the best clips from it.
Oh, man. The internet never fails to impress me.
Yeah.
The stuff they think up.
Yeah. So there you go. You can go find that on your own. Darth Trump. Fits eerily too well.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
Yes. So there you go. That's our random clip for this week. Now let's move into Mike's segment where he lets you know what's going on in terms of movies, TV, and video games that you keep an eye out for. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
No way! I don't believe it!
That's right. It's time for you to believe it.
That's right. You better believe it because I'm here with This Week in Entertainment. First up, in the movies, if you're heading to the theater this week, make sure to keep an eye out for this one. La La Land is a new movie from the director-writer of Whiplash. It is a new musical dramedy about young love between struggling artists in modern-day Hollywood, starring some big names right now, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, John Legend, and J.K. Simmons. But the most important thing about this movie right now is the fact that it currently has a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes with an 8.7 average rating from 72 critics. People are saying this is an early Oscar favorite, for a few reasons. One, this sort of very lighthearted approach to young love and trying to make it big in Hollywood in the modern era, but also the fact that it is actually a musical, from what I understand. So if you're looking for something very different in theaters, go check out La La Land opening this week. If you want to stay in, though, watch some new Netflix shows. I have a couple of cool Netflix originals for you guys to check out. Fuller House is, of course, the revival of the Full House family sitcom. It is launching its season 2 premiere this Friday. It's dropping all its episodes. But what I'm really looking forward to is this one. The White Rabbit Project is a brand new series on Netflix, premiering December 9th. It is from the quote-unquote build team of Mythbusters, Cary Grant and Tori, the three sort of sidekicks of the main Mythbusters guys. They got a brand new series, their own series on Netflix. It's one of Netflix's new forays into reality-style television. And the show is set up similar to Mythbusters, where they take a whole bunch of weird scientific concepts and they test them out and they take them to the nth degree. So if you're looking for some wacky, wild science experiments and with some fun hosts, go check out The White Rabbit Project on Netflix. And finally, in the world of video games, we have a very long-awaited and highly anticipated game. The Last Guardian is finally releasing after 10 years in development exclusively on the PlayStation 4 console. This action-adventure game is made by the creators of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. For those of you that might be familiar with those games, you know that they are heavily focused on storytelling and a more emotional narrative journey rather than combat or action gameplay. The main focus of this game is the relationship and bond between a young boy and a large, mysterious creature who he must rely on to help him explore and escape his strange environment. There hasn't been a lot released about the plot because it is a very narrative-driven game, as something that a lot of reviewers are saying you have to play it to actually experience and get the full effect of it. If you're looking forward to this one, it looks like it's doing fairly well so far, an 82 on Metacritic. From 58 different reviewers. So it looks like the 10 years in the making have been worth it. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good game. So go check out The Last Guardian, releasing on PlayStation 4 this week. And that wraps it up for This Week in Entertainment.
right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. But that does not wrap up the video game news, because we've got a lot of video game news to get to here with the Video Game Awards and the PlayStation Experience Conference. Where do you want to start off first?
Oh, boy. This was a packed week for video gamers. If you're into video games, there was a lot of big news. Let's start off with the Video Game Awards, because that was... that affects the entire video game industry. I just want to run over a few of the big winners just to start things off, to get this out of the way. One of my favorite games, Uncharted, was nominated 8 times for 8 different categories. It only won 2 of the big categories, Best Narrative, obviously, but also Best Performance for Nolan North as Nathan Drake. You've played the first 3 Uncharted games.
Yes.
They're just... It's like a more serious version of Indiana Jones.
Right.
If you want Indiana Jones, if you want an Indiana Jones video game experience, it's Uncharted. But it has that more grounded narrative with more personal stories in it as well. It's a fantastic, fantastic series. Uncharted 4 was amazing. I highly recommend everybody goes to check it out. But the big winner this year was Overwatch. Won Game of the Year. It won Best Game Direction. Won Best Multiplayer, Best Esports. It won a whole bunch of awards. I have to tell you, I'm normally not into games like this, but Overwatch is fantastic. It's an online multiplayer only first person shooter, which is like the antithesis of what I like in video games, right? All online first person, because I'm not really great, you know, at first person shooters.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not like, you know, professional Call of Duty or Halo, you know, where I'm like getting headshots left and right. You know, I'm only okay. But this game lets you excel even if you're not great because of the way it structures its online, where you pick a unique character that has their own abilities and has its own role on the team. If you don't want to attack people, you can play in the back lines and heal people or put up shields or traps. So you don't have to be...
Everyone has a role to play.
Yeah, everyone has a role to play, and you can always feel useful. It's very addicting, very competitive, but also it's great cooperative as well, because your team is all working together on one goal. You know, you don't have these lone wolf hunters like in Call of Duty that just run around the map killing everyone.
Yeah, I hate that.
Racking up, you know, 30, 40 kills. I was never very good at Call of Duty multiplayer, never was a big fan of it, but Overwatch really sold me on their multiplayer. I think it's well-deserved. I personally would have liked to see Uncharted 4, but I understand why Overwatch got it, for being the big phenomenon that it is. So that's just some of the big winners of the Video Game Awards. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it, because there's tons of categories. I don't feel like explaining all of them. But one of the big aspects of the Video Game Awards, the reason why so many people tune in, is for the reveals.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've made this a big thing. It's like... they know that the awards aren't enough to draw people in.
Yeah, we need honestly. To know what's coming up.
Yeah, video games are always, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? So the Video Game Awards, they definitely delivered on that front. They had a bunch of big reveals. They had a new trailer for Death Stranding, the new game from Hideo Kojima. Everybody is really excited about that. I was never really a Kojima fan, so I didn't really pay that too much attention. The game
that's the one with Norman Reedus.
The
right?
one with Norman Reedus, yeah. It's really, really weird. Like, if you want to see a really weird trailer, go check out the trailers for Death Stranding. Like, both of them will leave you sort of going, like, WTF. So if you're into Kojima games, that is going to be right up your alley. The game that I was looking forward to the most, though, was Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, yeah.
They finally showed off gameplay. We had been talking earlier in the month, after they revealed all the story elements, when were we going to see gameplay? When were we going to see the game in action?
Can it wait for a bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Well, that's what we were wondering. You know, they're only like 4 or 5 months away from release. Are they still doing calibrations on this damn thing?
Believe it or not, this damn gun still needs calibrating.
So, you know what? They put in that line, and I don't think that it was going to relate so well to their development process. Because this game has been delayed a couple of times. It's you know, 5 years now since the last Mass Effect. But I saw the gameplay. You saw the gameplay.
Yep.
Has the wait been worth it?
I think so. And from what I saw in the gameplay trailer, it looks to me like it's regular Mass Effect. I mean, not regular. I mean, there's obviously going to be a different world.
Yeah.
But I mean, it looks and sounds like Mass Effect.
Yeah, you know, I watched the trailer and it was really exciting because you see a lot of those elements that you look for. You look for the dialogue. You look for the crazy power-based gameplay. Mm-hmm. You know, you look for those weird alien races and unique characters.
The weird powers. And
yeah, and it had all that on display, amped up to 11, you know, which was really exciting. The gameplay looked a lot more fluid and exciting. But for some reason, some people online are worried that for some reason it reminds them of No Man's Sky.
I think because you're trying to discover planets and you're scanning things.
Yeah.
People are thinking that that's what all Mass Effect Andromeda is going to be.
Yeah. And
I highly doubt that.
I highly, highly doubt that. We talked, I think it was last week, about No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And there's this interesting effect now in the video game world where, you know, No Man's Sky has sort of like ruined science fiction games where everyone, you know, they see scanning and they hear the word exploration. Oh my God, it's No Man's Sky.
Oh no.
This knee-jerk reaction, we were talking about this last week, that knee-jerk reaction, that blowing things out of proportion, you know, people are making Mass Effect guilty by association. You know, oh, they're both sci-fi games focused on exploration. They couldn't be further apart, No Man's Sky and Mass Effect. Just the fact that you're scanning doesn't make it the same as No Man's Sky.
Right.
You know, and also, you have to remember that this is gameplay that was probably made 5-6 months ago. It's probably much different now. And they also didn't show any of the story because they want to save that for the actual game.
Yeah, keep in mind, there's going to be a what I would assume is going to be a very heavy story.
Yeah. You know,
They don't take the story lightly in Mass Effect.
No, BioWare has fantastic history of great stories, you know, going all the way back to Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
You know, Mass Effect, the Dragon Age series. And one of the other things that I've heard gamers online complain about is the fact that, oh, it looks like Dragon Age as well, which got criticism because the quests were very shallow. And my remark to that would be, when has BioWare ever made the same game twice? Right? You look at Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3, they're all three so different. They all continue to build and progress. So BioWare has a good history of constantly evolving their games, evolving their narratives, and not really retreading gameplay mechanics.
Yeah, I don't think it's time to push the panic button or anything.
No, I think everybody needs to chill out. I think it's going to be a fine game. You know, trust in BioWare. They always have fantastic characters. I've never been more excited for this game.
Yeah, I really want it to come out.
Yeah, you know, this month has been great because they've been slowly releasing information all month and all month. Meaning November. We're at the beginning of December
month.
Now. Last month.
The past month.
But it culminated on you know, last week when they revealed the gameplay. So I'm really, really excited for this game. I think that EA did it. You know, in hindsight, I think EA did it right where they saved all this until the very end. Because if they had been trickling this out all along over the course of...
It would seem like it was forever.
You run into the issue of No Man's Sky about dragging it on and on. Trickling out information and people grow tired and weary of it. But I think now they hit everybody with this news right around the holidays, get those pre-orders in. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's about getting those pre-orders. Yep. EA's, you know, give us that money. But I think it might pay off for them because I think now the hype is at an all-time high for this game. Can't wait to try it out. So that was the Video Game Awards. But the really big, important event for PlayStation fans was the PlayStation Experience. This is like PlayStation's own mini E3. You know, they have E3, and then in December they have a conference that's geared specifically for PlayStation fans. It's really, you know, game reveals and trailers that PlayStation fans would appreciate more so than the mainstream media. And I have to say, Sony knows how to cater to their fans, and they did so in spectacular fashion by making Naughty Dog the headlining developer of the conference.
Well, I think they had to with all the news that they premiered at this thing.
Yeah, I mean,
this was awesome following over the weekend.
Yeah, there's just so much to dig into. So the show opens up with the reveal of the Uncharted 4 DLC, which is going to be a standalone DLC. Everybody went crazy. Naughty Dog is fantastic. They're taking it in a new direction with a new character. They're not focusing on Nathan Drake for the DLC. Everybody was really excited about that. halfway through the show, they reveal a Crash Bandicoot trilogy remake.
Yeah, it's for all you PlayStation 1 classic lovers.
This is what I'm excited about. Now, you never got into PlayStation 1. You were an N64.
Yeah, I was a Nintendo 64 guy at the beginning.
So, I have to say, Rich, I highly recommend you go check out Crash Bandicoot, because if you want to know where Naughty Dog got its start, how did Naughty Dog get to the point where they're making these amazing games? They started with a little orange marsupial jumping off of boxes and collecting apples. It is actually a brutally difficult game, and I'm actually worried because I've regressed in my gaming abilities. When I was a kid, I could play much better. So, you know, I'm going to play these remakes and probably be terrible at them. But I'm super excited to play Crash Bandicoot again. It's a remake, so it's not just, you know, upscaling the graphics. They totally remade all the graphics.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I think that's what you need to do for those older games, right? If you want to, you want to bring them to the system.
Yeah, some of them look horrible if all you do is just upscale them to 1080.
Yeah, some of the PS2 games they have on the PS4, I mean, like, if you're not going to give it the proper makeover, why bother?
Yeah.
Right? I think this is the way to do it. I think this is the way to get people interested in these old franchises again, is to remake it from the ground up with really bright, vivid graphics, Titans controls, you know, do the whole nine yards. So I'm really excited for that. But the big news, and this was huge and totally unexpected, everybody thought, okay, Naughty Dog opened the show. There's no way that there's going to be another Naughty Dog reveal. I've never heard a crowd cheer louder than when they saw the Naughty Dog logo appear again at the end of the show and revealed The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It spread throughout the internet ridiculously fast.
Oh, it was everywhere.
I mean, I was, you know, I wasn't doing anything this weekend, so I was just, like, you know, casually browsing through Facebook, and then all of a sudden, it just appeared, bam, Last of Us 2. I was like, whoa, well, all right, now we're talking.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh boy, there's the mic drop.
Yeah.
You know, there's the hammer.
Hammer with the hammer!
I mean, but that's the type of developer Naughty Dog is. They command that type of respect and attention. Just the mention of The Last of Us sends everybody into hysterics. The Last of Us on the previous generation of console, it's one of those franchises that defines a generation. When you look at the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, and that shift towards more narrative gaming, I think The Last of Us is like the culmination of that.
Yeah.
That focus on serious, mature storytelling.
Right. That's a game that is only for adults, and not because of just all the violence, just because of the themes in it.
The themes in it, yeah. And it has one of those really ambiguous endings that really leaves you scratching your head. It's not, you know, it doesn't have a nice little bow on top.
No.
It really challenges you, and it leaves you thinking, and it's an ending that sticks with you. And so one of the most exciting things about The Last of Us 2 is the reveal that they're bringing back the same characters.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really bold move. I don't want to spoil anything for people who haven't played The Last of Us, but it ends in a way that, not a cliffhanger, but it leaves this sort of uneasy sense of tension between these two characters, right? So I don't know how they're going to address that in the sequel. They have to address it, really.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to be very interested to see, and I totally trust Naughty Dog with it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if there's a developer to handle a narrative like that, it's Naughty Dog.
I just hope they pull it off.
I know. Well, this is the issue. Have they bitten off more than they can chew? Because they just got done Uncharted 4. They had the DLC. And now they've just revealed The Last of Us 2. Can you top The Last of Us? Because a lot of people say it's almost a perfect gaming experience.
Yeah. The first Last of Us is amazing. But here's the thing with Naughty Dog is they have a good track record. I mean, they were able to make Uncharted, each game following the next one, better than the last one. So yeah. I can't outright say Naughty Dog's going to blow it because they have a good track record.
They have a phenomenal track. I've been a fan of Naughty Dog since Crash Bandicoot.
Uh-huh.
I've never played a bad game.
So, yeah, I think
in all the years, PlayStation 1 through PlayStation 4, I've never played a bad Naughty Dog game.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be hard to crap on the idea of a second Last of Us game.
Yeah, they're one of those studios, you know, it's like Pixar in film, right? You look at Pixar, they don't really make bad movies.
No, just the way it happens. They just do good work.
Yeah, and so Naughty Dog is the same way in the video game industry. They don't really make bad games. They make Occasionally there's a good game.
Occasionally right? there's a perfect game.
Yeah, occasionally there's a perfect
game.
Yeah, you know, whoops. You know, yeah. We have a perfect one and then we have just a really good one. Oh, you know, our bad.
Yeah, oh, shame.
Yeah. So I'm not worried at all. But here's the thing, though. I wonder if they may have revealed it too early because this is nowhere near completion.
No.
You're not even going to sniff this game again until late 2018, I think.
So that'll be another, what, 2 years?
Another 2 years, probably.
Okay.
Because knowing Naughty Dog's development schedule, I mean, this is a ways off. They just finished Uncharted 4. They still have to do the DLC. Most people are saying that you shouldn't expect this game until early 2019. Did they reveal it too far out?
Possibly. But it's nice to know that that's going to be the next project.
Yeah. And it's something that Sony can constantly go back to, especially with the impending launch of the Nintendo Switch and the new Xbox. I don't know what to call it. The Scorpio. The revamped Xbox that's supposedly even more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah, that's right. It's their answer to the Pro.
Yeah, that's supposed to come out in 2017. So is this Sony's preemptive strike? Like, okay, here's these two new consoles, but if you just hold on a little bit longer, we have The Last of Us 2.
We have essentially all of Naughty Dog behind us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sony owns Naughty Dog. They can just keep tooting that horn until it's completely broken.
Yep, and there's nothing wrong with it because the games from Naughty Dog are great.
They really have been spectacular. I wonder, though, that now that they've announced the Uncharted DLC and The Last of Us 2, have they created this situation in which the next couple of years are going to be too crowded with these big AAA games? I made a little list here of all the big AAA exclusives. You have Spider-Man, God of War, The Last of Us 2, Death Stranding, Detroit, Horizon Zero Dawn, Days Gone. These are all supposed to come out between 2017 and 2019. Are they overloading the release schedule?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think that's a silly thing to make a problem. Too many.
Well, it might detract from some of them. The fact there's so many hitting at once.
Believe me, if that's Sony's problem, they'll be happy with it. That's fine. You know, it's better to have that problem than to not have good quality AAA games.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but Xbox really has a lack of exclusive games. I can't even point to anything other than Gears of War and Halo.
Right. In terms of exclusives, yeah, Xbox really doesn't have anything.
Yeah. So I guess here's my question. If Sony doesn't have a console answer to the new Xbox, do you think they can continue to win people over with their software offerings?
I think they can. Because
even in the face of a much more powerful console.
Yes. Because, you know, more graphics doesn't necessarily make a better gaming environment.
No.
You know, you got to have a good product for selling the games, and you got to have a good story, and you got to have fun video games.
Yeah.
And Xbox could have all the, you know, processing power they want. Goes for PlayStation, too. Xbox or
yeah,
PlayStation. They can have all the processing power they want, but if the games that you sell for those consoles aren't fun to play with, then it's not going to sell.
Yeah.
That's that simple.
No,
I mean, we've seen that in history.
The most powerful console doesn't always win.
What was it? The 3DO? Back in the 90s,
yeah.
Had the most processing power, technically,
but
there was no games for it.
The original Xbox was more powerful than the PlayStation 2, and the PlayStation 2 is the best-selling console of all time.
Yeah, because there was more games.
Sega Dreamcast.
More fun games.
Sega Dreamcast, first console to have online connectivity. Totally bombed.
Yeah, but not enough fun games.
Yeah, it really comes down to having that game library, and that's why it's so amazing that Sony has acquired the lead it has. Without those games.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
like,
far.
So far, they really haven't had a fall season. Like, I can't even name a big Sony exclusive this fall. I mean, other than The Last Guardian. But that was, you know, that's a game that's been in the making for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know? But they really have nothing else big this fall season. But I guess they don't need to. They have that lead. And now they can trickle out these exclusives over the end of the PlayStation 4's life cycle to keep people interested in the console.
Yeah, and there you go. That's enough for a win in this generation of video games, I think.
Yeah, it, look, it all comes back to great gameplay. You have to have great gameplay. If you don't have great gameplay, you're not going to bring in the gamers.
Yep. Great graphics don't make a great game.
That's true. That's true. It helps sometimes, but it's not the end-all be-all. So the AAA titles aside, there is one more thing I want to get to. They also announced a ton of indie games, and they showed off a bunch of indie games. Sony has always been a big supporter of indie developers. But this does raise a unique issue that I've noticed the past couple of months on the PlayStation Store. With all these indie titles coming out, developers, it's incredibly easy to work with Sony, apparently. Maybe a little too easy. Because one of the complaints I've seen, and I've witnessed this personally, you know, as I browse through every week, all right, what's new, what's coming out, you know, to stay up to date, I just see more and more crap on the PlayStation Store. These little mobile ports, these shoddy, half-made games. I saw, like, a yoga instructional game, like weird, like, non-game stuff that's sort of rising to the top here in the PlayStation Store every week because they're new releases. And it sort of hit a breaking point when I came across this game. And I'm not lying, Rich. This game is called My Name is Mayo. And
that's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
It does. Well, when you hear about this game, it will make you want to puke. The main premise of the game is there's a jar of mayo and you tap it.
Where are we at in society today?
But that's it.
that's the whole plot.
Full stop. And you tap a jar of mayo. I'm not lying. I watched the trailer. This is 99 cents on the PlayStation Store. It's not free. 99 cents. You just constantly hit a button to tap on a jar of mayo. And apparently the number of times you tap it, you can unlock cosmetic items for the jar of mayo. You can give it a mustache, a banana
What's that?
Suit. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that?
Cosmetic upgrades.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
I agree. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. A lot of people are saying that its sole purpose is to get people an easy platinum trophy on the PlayStation Network.
Just so you can say, oh, I have a platinum
trophy.
Just
so you can say, I have a platinum trophy. Okay. Should this game be allowed on the PlayStation Store, Rich?
Well,
you pay 99 cents to tap a jar of mayo.
Well, look, in terms of it being allowed, yes, that's fine. I don't, you know, whatever. That's, you know, freedom to make games. Sure, why not? But if you actually go and spend 99 cents on this game, if you actually spend money on this, then you're an idiot.
Yeah, I can't imagine why people would spend 99 cents on this.
Yeah.
You know, I have to admit, I was tempted. No, not because I wanted to play it. I was tempted because I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, should I pay for this just so I could test it and talk about it? And then I said, no.
No.
Don't be ridiculous. Yeah. Don't pay 99 cents to tap a jar. You're not even tapping a real jar of mayo.
Yeah.
You're tapping a fake jar of mayo with a controller button.
What's that?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too.
It is funny, but at the same time, it's also a little sad to me because, you know, you say it should be allowed, and I guess you can't stop people from making the games that they want to make, but I think there needs to be some type of quality control. I think Sony has to at some point say, okay, this is just stupid. You need to have something more if you're going to charge people for a game like this. Sony prides themselves... I just said, all these big AAA games, all these fantastic indie experiences like Journey and Flower, you know, and then you let in stuff like My Name is Mayo, and it's sort of, and when you see that in the new game releases, and you have to scroll past that to get to the good games, I think you have a problem. There needs to be some sort of quality control there, because it lessens the brand integrity, I think. If you have My Name is Mayo in the new releases, Rich. This is up there with Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, sure. You know, after you're done, you know, a very tight game of, you know,
of Overwatch.
Overwatch.
You go or, tap some mayo.
Or a very emotional game of The Last of Us. Go tap some mayo.
Go tap some mayo.
Perfect.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how Sony can combat this, but I feel like there needs to be more quality control. And I think, and you know what though? And here's the issue. This isn't just a Sony thing. Have you noticed, like, on the app stores for mobile phones, how much crap there is on there?
Yeah.
It's just overwhelming. You go and you check out the new games, and like 9 out of 10 of them are just these recycled ideas with free to play microtransaction gimmicks to try and make money. Is this a problem facing gaming? These get rich quick schemes that game developers are employing to sort of flood the market.
I mean, yeah, it sucks, and it's something that you should try to avoid. But unfortunately, I don't really see a way that you can have, unless you establish a quality control set of guidelines,
which is admittedly really tough.
Yeah,
you know, like because it goes back to the football argument, right? It's subjective.
Right, it's all subjective.
You know, what's crap to somebody? Now, this is crap to me. It might not be crap. You know, there might be somebody down the street that's like, "How dare you?
This is
awesome. My name is Mayo is better than Overwatch and The Last of Us."
Yeah, which, dear God, you're wrong.
You're very wrong. But you know what? Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, you can't judge anything subjective.
I still feel like Sony needs at least, like, push it off into the corner. You know, have, like, a unique category where it's, like,
silly stuff.
Yeah, silly. Yeah, call the genre silly. Call it, like, time wasters or you know, quick plays. Or something
or
like that.
You're an idiot.
Or you're an idiot. Oh, let's see what's new in the you're an idiot genre. I like that idea. I would visit that genre every week.
Yeah. Just to see what's up.
I like weird stuff. Not this weird. I like weird stuff. But they need to filter this stuff out so it's not clogging up the store. It doesn't make them look dopey. And Apple and Android need to do it too with their app stores. I think this is a problem. I think it's not an earth-shattering problem, but for gamers, it's a problem. We have to shuffle past all this stuff to get to the good stuff. You know, it dilutes the market. Dilutes the market, I think. But anyway.
But there you go. That's our wrap-up of video game news. A lot that we had to get to with all of the conferences happening, the Video Game Awards and the Sony press conference. But it's looking to be a bright future if you've got a PlayStation 4 right now, yeah, I think.
Definitely. Looking forward to 2017.
Yeah, definitely going to be a good year for video games coming up in the following year. So looking forward to that. But there you go. That wraps up the entertainment entree. But speaking of liking weird stuff.
Yeah, and looking forward to stuff.
Coming up next is the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
Oh, boy.
I've got a couple of weird stories you're going to want to hear. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiMatteo, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
That's like a skill. We need to teach patience in school.
It's just a class where you sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
You just sit there for an hour.
We need something like that, because these kids don't know how to... kids don't know how to not do nothing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Except the fact that we sound like really old people.
Back in my day,
we waited 5 minutes to play
a flippy flashy game.
A flipping flash game. And we didn't have the curse words you whippersnappers have nowadays.
Yeah, we had to invent our own.
Yeah.
Like frickin'.
And sugar honey iced tea.
I hope I don't embarrass my sister.
Oh,
but
no.
We did have the incident. One of the kids dropped the F-bomb.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like,
boy.
I was kind of expecting, like, it would go in, like, a scale of intensity. Like,
it would start small, like, damn.
Right.
Like, you'd hear them under the breath, like, oh, damn.
Yeah. This one, I'm not going to say which one it is, but this one went right to the F-bomb.
Wow.
And he said, like, F you. I was like, oh, my God.
Listen here!
Yeah, like...
You probably just would have laughed and been like, right on!
I kind of did when I heard the story. And my poor sister's like, that's not funny! when you curse in front of your parents.
For the very first time, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the world, and now we sit around dinner, F this! My mom's going to hate me for that. And the funny thing is, the kids learn it from the parents. That's where I first learned it. Now my mom's really going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on. Uh-oh. Come on, you know. You know, where
don't
did
you drag me into this?
Where did you first
don't
hear?
Don't you drag me into this?
Where did you first hear your curse words?
Probably my dad.
There you go. It's always the parents.
Bruno's here, our producer.
He's got something to add.
What story?
I have something to add.
Okay.
Mom said she overheard you.
Uh-oh.
And I have to bleep this out, but she said, F you.
No, wait. What was I saying, Rich? What was I saying?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and a couple of beers.
Yeah.
But
we're feeling good.
Yeah, we're feeling good. But now it is time to move on to our last segment of the show. Last but not least, certainly.
That's right. Mike, our most serious topic.
Yeah, Mike, what's...
I said serious.
Yes. Is beers getting to you already?
I know. Ooh, man. Oh, that
professor?
That one beer. Ooh, did me in.
Yeah, and you're already making up words over there.
I know, serious. Well, you know what? That's sort of what the segment's all about, is making up weird stuff. It is, of course, time for the wackiest, the wildest segment that we got. One of my favorites, the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
All right. For those of you that might not be familiar with the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths.
That's right. I got a couple stories here for you. I'm debating about which one I should start out first. You know what? I think I'm going to change my plans. I think I'm going to start out this one. That's the theme of this episode.
This is the theme. It's just sort of like...
I've been changing the order of what things I said we were going to do, and I'm changing them up.
Call an audible.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm going to start off this one first is because I'm going to bring back our gambling music. Why not? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why we have gambling music. I don't know why. Okay, sure. Why not?
I think the more appropriate answer is why not.
We don't have music for every other activity.
Well, gambling's very important.
Okay. So now that we have the gambling music going, I assume this first story must deal with gambling.
That's right. We were saying that maybe the alcohol might be a problem. Well, for this guy definitely has a gambling problem. Uh-oh. Out in West Virginia. A West Virginia man is accused of leaving the Mardi Gras casino in Nitro, West Virginia, which, by the way, is a real town.
Did you say Nitro, West Virginia?
Nitro, West Virginia, yeah.
Okay, that's definitely a Google search.
Yeah, go ahead.
My God, it is a town!
Yeah, there you go. Bam, it already came up, didn't it?
Yeah, Nitro, West Virginia. Why?
Why not?
It's such a weird name for a town.
Because it's Nitro Intense. With its Mardi Gras casino.
Do you want to know how it got the name?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know how it got the name. The name Nitro derives from nitrocellulose, the main ingredient in gunpowder, the Nitro area was to be the American ammunition production facility during World War I. Its name was selected by the United States government because of the establishment there during World War I of a large federal plant for manufacture of explosives. The city is known as a living memorial to World War I. And if Wikipedia used the phrase World War I anymore in that paragraph...
Well, it's also home to the Mardi Gras Casino.
Okay, Mardi Gras Casino. All right.
And a man is accused of leaving the Mardi Gras Casino, then robbing the Nitro City National Bank, and then returning to the casino.
Well, yeah, because he had a sudden windfall of cash and he needed to gamble.
Yeah, double or nothing.
Come That's on. Right.
Let's do it.
That is when you know you have a gambling problem. If you rob a bank to fund your gambling addiction.
Yeah, and you run right back.
Oh, boy.
The man was indicted by a Kanawha County grand jury. 52-year-old Kerry Johnson is charged with bank robbery. He faces 10 to 20 years in prison if convicted. Police say that he arrived at the Nitro Casino at 10 in the morning on Tuesday.
Yikes.
I think that's also a sign,
That's definitely another sign, yeah. If you wake up, you're like, oh, time to head to the casino.
Yeah.
And you're not talking about a job.
Yeah, or you're in Vegas or, like, a vacation or something, you know?
Yeah, those are, like, the only excuses.
Yeah.
No, this is just a regular Tuesday after morning.
Yeah, Tuesday morning, yeah.
Tuesday morning.
He gambled at the table for 6 hours.
Wow.
Wow. It's a lot of gambling.
Do they say how much money he lost? I'd be interested to know.
Sometime around 3 p.m., police said that Johnson got up from the blackjack table and put down a $25 chip to hold his spot at the table. Wow, he's superstitious, too.
Okay.
This spot. Do not let anyone touch this spot.
Okay, so he's reserving a seat.
Yeah. That's when he left the casino and allegedly went to South Hills, where the Nitro City National Bank tellers said that he came in and handed them a note. The note said that he had a bomb on him and that he needed the money immediately. Johnson then...
All right.
Yeah, right? Yeah, don't mess with that. Yeah,
no.
Good idea. Johnson then took the money, put it in his car, and returned right back to the casino, to the table, and resumed his gambling.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Man, that's crazy. I can't believe he robbed a bank to continue gambling.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Boy, yeah. And
damn.
And I bet you the police didn't have, like, you know, that much work to do.
No.
Here you are.
He was still there, yeah.
If anyone is deserving of gambling music, I think it's this guy.
I think he's the most committed to the art of gambling.
Yeah.
Anyone. He robbed a bank.
I'm out of money. Oh, let's go to the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Why? Like, I mean, that is like above and beyond the call of duty for a gambler.
The call of gambling duty. And all on black.
Yeah, he just drops a sack of money.
Yeah,
just put it on black.
With the dollar
and it's red.
A sack of money with the dollar sign on it.
Yeah.
Just all on black.
That comes up green.
Damn it!
Ah.
I gotta rob another bank!
I gotta rob another bank! Oh my god. The police are like, why are these banks being robbed today?
Yeah, all the same day, too.
Yeah. Well, if he spends the money, how they know it's him, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a foolproof plan.
All of a sudden, the casino is really wealthy.
Yeah, the casino's like, hey, we don't ask questions.
Yeah, right?
We just
accept the bets.
That's right. Oh, man, that's hilarious. I do imagine, though, the cops had a pretty easy time of tracking him down. They walk into the casino, and he's sitting there with the money bags with the money sign on them.
Yeah.
He just has it on the floor next to him, just reaches in, grabs a few dollars, puts it on the table. He's a very committed gambler.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Let's keep the fun going. How about we go to Florida?
All right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Hey, yeah. Florida's always a good time. All right. They got Disney World. They got SeaWorld. They have Orlando Universal Studios. They got beaches. They got drunk naked people.
Yeah.
They got everything you could possibly want in one location.
Well, they also have this story that happened. A 61-year-old Florida woman was arrested after she had a dispute with her boyfriend outside an Einstein Brothers bagels place.
Okay.
She walked up to her boyfriend and after an argument slapped him in the face on Monday evening.
Okay.
61-year-old Joanne.
Doesn't sound that crazy yet.
61-year-old Joanne Estaturo then saw that her boyfriend had a squid dinner.
It's a squid dinner.
I know. Yeah. Well, I don't know what the
is
hell
it
that
just
is.
Squid on a plate?
Yes.
Okay.
And took the squid out and threw it on the boyfriend and other people at the Einstein Brothers bagel place.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
I just can't get over the squid dinner.
Yeah, so imagine this 61-year-old old lady is throwing squid everywhere.
Just throwing squid
outside
everywhere.
Outside an Einstein Brothers bagels place on Monday night.
Why is there a squid dinner at a bagel place?
Yeah, who brought squid?
Who brought squid to a bagel place?
Yeah.
It's like going to Dunkin' Donuts and being like, yeah, I'll have the fried calamari.
Yeah, what?
Like, and they're just like, no, sir.
Yeah.
Don't, please leave.
I've heard of bagel and lox, but that's salmon. That's not
squid. Yeah, that's not
squid. What the hell?
Wait, do you think you could have squid on a bagel?
I don't.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look up squid on a bagel.
Sounds like a, come
it's like
on
a weird bagel bite.
Let's,
right?
Let's have some squid on a bagel.
Wow, I looked up squid on a bagel and it came up with your story.
There you go.
Superwoman throws squid at boyfriend.
There you go.
That's the only thing that comes up when I search for squid on a bagel.
Yeah, it's not exactly a Food Channel recipe, Mike.
No, it's like the first five results in Google. That's amazing. But no, to put it simply, I don't think squid goes on bagels.
No.
If I'm wrong, let me know. # squid on a bagel.
I'd like to see Rachel Wright come up with a recipe for that.
Rachel Wright tomorrow is like, and next up, we're going to do squid on a bagel.
Yes.
That's my Rachel Wright impression because I don't know how to, I don't know.
Squid on a bagel.
Squid on a bagel. That seems like a Florida thing to do.
Yeah.
Right?
So Joanne Estaturo grabbed the squid and threw it at the boyfriend and guests around him. It covered the boyfriend and the guests. So there must have been a lot of squid.
Yeah, how much squid are we talking?
Yeah,
that it covers multiple people.
Yeah, how much squid do you bring to this place?
Like, you need a lot of squid. Like, okay, so I'm gonna go super Italian. On you. We have fried calamari at Christmas.
Yeah,
calamari
right,
is squid.
Seven fishes.
Yeah, but calamari is squid, and so like there's not a lot of it. Like, you need a lot of squid to cover multiple people.
Yeah.
That's just, it wasn't like the entire squid.
I
like, was it like flopping around with its tentacles? Like,
yeah, where did you get this much squid? And why did you bring it to an Einstein Brothers bagels place?
Yeah, wait, did he bring it there? Did he say,
yeah,
I have
the
this
boyfriend. Yeah.
I have this awesome squid dinner, whatever squid dinner
but
is.
But I really want a bagel.
Yeah, I need a place to eat. I'll go to the bagel place.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, bring your squid dinner to Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, it's, yeah. I'm trying to think of like a weird
yeah, it's
thing.
It's so healthy for
it's
you.
So healthy. Yeah. Well, it's seafood. Seafood's good for you.
Right along with my mocha latte venti with extra whipped cream.
Ooh, a grande salted caramel mocha frappuccino.
With squid.
With squid.
Mmm, tasty.
I just got that today at Starbucks.
Mm.
Extra squid. It was delicious. A little hard to get up through the straw, but it was good, though.
The tentacles get stuck.
The tentacles get stuck, yeah.
You know how that happens.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things you have to deal with. First world problems.
Yeah. Estaturo also grabbed the man's wallet and fled in a four-door Buick LeSabre.
Okay.
Classy.
Yeah.
Classy car. A witness also said that the woman threw one of the outdoor chairs at him. Wow.
Wow.
Straight right. up like the mummy.
The
like,
squid wasn't enough.
Yeah, right? Straight up the mummy chair throw.
The mummy chair throw?
Yeah.
What are you
Brendan
talking
Fraser,
about?
He throws a chair. There's one scene he just effortlessly like picks up a chair and he throws it at one of the guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting, I guess. I don't know.
You need to rewatch
it. I need to rewatch it. Did you see the new trailer for the new Mummy?
Yeah.
It looked really dopey, didn't it?
It looks like too much Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it did. I was confused. I was like, this is either Mission Impossible or the Mummy. Or
yeah.
both.
It's Mission Impossible 6, the Mummy.
Yeah, the Mummy. Yeah, it looked dumb. Anyway.
This
is a better version of the Mummy. You're just wrapped
squid.
In squid. Yeah, you're wrapped in squid instead of What are mummies wrapped in? Toilet paper? Papyrus?
Some sort of gauze? I don't know.
Gauze? They have gauze?
I guess.
Oh, I don't know. I'm confused now. Anyway, continue with the story.
Well, anyway, Esoturo was arrested the following morning at her home. She was released under supervision later that night. So there you go. Yeah, she's 61 too. Like,
yeah,
yeah, man. This old lady, she's throwing chairs. She's throwing
very active for a 61.
Very spry.
Throwing squid and chairs. I mean,
yeah,
to throw a chair. I mean, you got to be pissed off to throw a chair.
Yeah,
not that it's difficult, but it's like
it's a lot of effort.
It is. It's like, I want to throw something. I'm going to reach down and grab this chair and, like, lift
it. It's no squid.
No, it's no squid. No, definitely not. Depending on the type of chair, it could be heavy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's an outdoor chair. What if it's, like,
yeah, it was outdoors.
What if it's, like, one of those iron chairs, you know? Like, yeah. One of those, like, metal chairs?
That'll do some damage.
Yeah. So this lady, she was, like, really mad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mess with this 61-year-old Florida woman and
definitely
squid.
Not. You're going to get a face full of squid.
Yeah.
And a face full of chair.
Squid in your face.
That's squid in your face.
That is exactly what you're going to get.
In your face! Ha ha! Now, if it was fried, I'd love that. Squid right in my face.
Yeah, how was this squid? Like,
I think it's just, I don't know. I like to imagine it was just raw squid. It's just a whole raw squid. Yeah.
He walks into the Einstein Brothers Bagels place. Hey, can you guys cook this up for me?
he just plops a bucket on the counter like, can you guys do something with this? Cool, thanks.
Yeah, put it on my bagel.
I'll be outside. Yeah, put it on my bagel. It's like a really like weird bagel, too. It'd be like a blueberry bagel with squid on it.
Mm.
Not just a normal bagel. Delicious, right? Oh, man, I could go for a bagel right now.
Okay.
Anyway. Well.
Ready for our next?
A good bagel. It's hard to beat a good bagel, Rich.
With squid.
With squid. Anyway.
All right, let's get to our second Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
This one's an interesting story to imagine. An intoxicated man was arrested Friday night after he broke into a South Florida post office and decided to cut open packages in search of valuables to sell for drugs.
All right, then. That sounds like a good
happy
idea.
Happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Yeah, he was opening his birthday gifts.
Boynton Beach police said that officers were called to a burglary at the U.S. Post Office around 11 p.m. Friday night. When officers arrived, they found, quote, an extremely intoxicated man who was Francis Keller. Keller was inside the workroom using scissors to open as many packages as he could. 56-year-old Keller told police that he used to work for the U.S. Postal Service 30 years ago.
Okay.
And he was able to get inside using an old security code he remembered.
Oh, come on.
He said
from
that...
From 30 years ago?
He said that, quote, I worked for the post office 30 years ago. They have no imagination. The code was just 1234.
Nice.
So the combination is... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life. That's the kind of thing an idiot would have on his luggage.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Well, did it work? Where's the key?
It worked, sir. We have the combination.
Great. What's the combination?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
That's amazing. I've got the same combination on my luggage.
I love Spaceballs.
This really That's does great. Sound like something from Spaceballs.
It really does.
Like, really? Nobody thought that...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Nobody thought to get rid of this old 30-year-old 1, 2, 3, 4 basic code?
Come on, man.
This is the U.S. Post Office.
I know, really? This is a government-run facility.
Yeah. What the hell are you guys doing?
Come on. At least reverse it. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Make it a little harder.
You know, make it a tiny bit challenging.
Keller told officers that he was planning to steal valuable items and sell them for crack cocaine. He went right for the goods. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Keller was then booked into the main Palm Beach County Jail and later released. But... jail records show that he was arrested again on Sunday morning on more robbery charges.
Oh, please tell me it was another post office.
No. Slater said that Keller went to a local Sonic restaurant approached an employee and asked him about getting a job. Slater said that Keller then pulled a gun on him.
Wow.
And demanded money from him.
That's not how you do a job interview. I've tried it before. It doesn't work. Trust me.
After Keller robbed the employee, he ran to his vehicle in the parking lot. That's when police saw Keller. Keller tried to run away in the car, but that doesn't make any sense. Run away in the car.
He tried to run away in the car.
He drove away in the car, I think is what he
tried
to
escape.
You're right, exactly. But the police were able to stop him minutes later. The police also said that Keller's gun was actually a pellet gun.
Okay.
So, you know. He was trying to be as friendly as he could.
How about not use a gun then?
Keller is likely to spend the rest of this month in jail since he violated the terms of his most recent arrests. So,
all right,
going to be spending some quality time in jail for that one.
Oh, God. These repeat criminals, they crack me up. It's like they never learn their lesson.
Yeah.
You know?
But,
why didn't he just stick with the get a job thing? Why didn't he just get a job and then use that money to buy crack cocaine like the rest of us?
Yeah, all right, the American way.
The good old-fashioned American way. That's right. Hard work for your hard drugs.
That's how it should be, all right?
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers.
And then you celebrate with American hamburgers.
That's
all right?
Right.
That's how it works.
That's right. That's true patriotism right there.
All right. Let's go to our next story here. Going to Utah. We usually don't get stories in Utah.
No, not really.
No.
They've got like all those wives out there, don't they?
Yeah. And it's
you're like, yeah.
It's a good thing. Kind of interesting you mentioned that.
Oh, really?
In Utah, a convicted sex offender was caught breaking into a Mormon temple. When asked why, police said that the man responded, "I'm hoping to find a wife."
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Okay, hold on. So, you break into a Mormon temple. And what, you're just going to steal a wife?
Ta-da!
Like what is she? Like a piece of luggage or something? Or like something that's on a store shelf? You just pick her up under your arm and run out? I'm going to find myself a wife. I didn't know it was that easy.
Apparently, that's how you...
That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Oh, my gosh.
53-year-old Kelly Thane Archibald.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that really his name? Archibald?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who was originally from Idaho, was seen climbing the gates of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the town of Logan, Utah, before he began wandering around the church naked.
Well, that'll get you a wife.
Yeah. witness...
It's like bait. You just dangle it out there, you know?
It's a miracle!
Witnesses initially saw Archibald approach the temple with only a blanket around his waist, but then he dropped the blanket as he scaled the gates. Asked by police why he had no clothes on, Archibald said that, quote, "I'm naked because this is how I entered the world."
It's a miracle!
Yeah, sure.
Wow, that's a very deep way to think about it. He's going back to his roots.
Sure.
Naked and screaming.
He was arrested and taken to the nearby Cache County Jail. When they ran his background check, that's when they found out he was a convicted sex offender who pleaded guilty to sexually abusing a minor under the age of 16 in 08.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah, which unfortunately raises his misdemeanor offense to a felony. So,
oof.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to get a wife anytime soon.
No, I don't know. No wives for him.
Yeah.
In fact, just keep people in general away from him, I think.
Yeah.
It's probably a good bet. How is somebody like that just wandering the streets?
Yeah. They just...
How
did he make it from Idaho?
Yeah.
All right. I can't imagine that's an easy walk.
He walked all that way naked with nothing but a towel.
Yeah.
He probably hitchhiked his way there. I don't know. Did he have a car?
Would you pick up a naked guy in just a towel?
No. Definitely
not. Yeah.
First off, I wouldn't pick up anybody, but definitely not a naked guy in a towel. Definitely not out in some Hickville Midwestern town either. Come on, that just screams serial killer, right?
I think so. I wouldn't do that.
No. Don't pick up people, naked people in towels. That's my recommendation.
Let's get to our next story here. Going to Texas. After having his sexual advances rejected by a woman nearly 50 years his junior, a 78-year-old Texas man decided to drop his pants and moon the object of his desire.
Well, there you go.
Sure, why
not? That's how you convince him.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Hey, look, yeah, if she doesn't want to accept your advances, you just drop your pants.
Yeah.
That'll just win her right over.
Sure. Doesn't that do something?
I know it's something to do with sex.
I'll never understand the logic.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Like, she didn't want you when you had your clothes on.
Yeah.
So what, you think dropping your pants, she's just gonna be like, oh my God, it's amazing. Let me jump on that. No.
Yeah, that's not how this works.
No, it's not. If she, like, first off, you're 78 years old and you're trying to pick up, what, a 20-something-year-old?
Yeah.
Come on, you've got to be rich like Hugh Hefner or Donald Trump to get somebody like that at that age.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Police say that 78-year-old Robert Scott approached a 29-year-old woman Saturday afternoon outside a DoubleTree hotel.
Okay.
Scott told the woman that she was attractive, according to the police report, quote, "Hey, you look like a model. We should go out. I can treat you real well."
Okay.
The woman replied, "No, thank you. I have a boyfriend."
Now that's a good response.
Yep.
Now, right there, he should have been like, "Oh, that's a shame. Can't blame a guy for trying," and just waltz away.
Yeah, that would be the classy thing to do.
Right, exactly.
When the woman, who cops say was attending a class for aspiring models at the hotel. Okay.
That guy just happened to be creeping around there.
When the woman did not jump at the retiree's offer for a date, Scott instead suggested, quote, "I could be your sugar daddy."
All right. Right to the chase.
I know it's something to do with sex.
There you go. He's skipping all the sweet talk and the foreplay. He's just going straight to "I can be your sugar daddy."
Yeah, home run or strikeout.
I like that. Home run or strikeout.
From there,
he's Ryan Howard.
Yeah, he's Ryan Howard at this.
He's Ryan Howard of the sex world.
Yeah. From there, Scott's conversation took an overly sexual tone. The woman responded by telling the elderly man, quote, "Please get out of my face." Scott did not handle the rejection well, because that's when Scott unfastened his belt buckle and dropped his pants and underwear to the ground and exposed his anus, buttocks, and his genitals to the victim.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The article really need to say anus, buttocks, and genitals.
Yeah, he went the whole...
buttocks, and genitals.
He went the full Monty.
Wow.
Scott, who was wearing a cowboy hat and blue jeans...
I don't know why that just makes it all better. That he's like wearing this cowboy hat and just drops his pants. Just a naked guy wearing just a cowboy hat.
Yep. Was easily found by police outside the hotel and booked into the county jail on a $5,000 bond.
I can't believe that tactic didn't work.
I know, right?
Right?
I thought that's what you do.
Don't the ladies go crazy over the 78-year-old naked guys wearing cowboy hats?
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's exactly what he said, too. You know?
Yeah. It's actually that's dialogue that you captured live. Yeah.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's why the article specifically lists anus, buttocks, and genitals.
Yeah.
went through all the progressions.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Oh, wow. I don't get the leap in logic.
Yeah.
Like, you tried asking politely. She said no politely. You tried being really creepy, gropey old guy. She said no again. So you just drop your pants?
Yeah. Just drop your pants.
Oh, whatever.
All right. And I got one last story for you here. It's not really, like, outlandishly weird, but it's just funny to imagine. And this one's in Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon police had to respond to a verbal altercation after a man who left the bar late at night refused to stop whistling the famous closing time song by Semisonic outside a woman's driveway.
This is the most random news story I think we've ever had. I don't know what to make of this.
The woman called Forest Grove police after the man wouldn't stop whistling the Semisonic tune outside her home late at night. Just this over and over. Just
over and over. I wonder how many times he had to whistle it in order to prompt the phone call to police. Like, it had to have been a lot, right?
Yeah. The verbal altercation occurred after a woman told the man to shut up after he kept whistling the song Closing Time. The police department says that they were unsure what exactly about the song drove the woman to call 911 and why the man stayed in the woman's driveway to keep singing Closing Time. Want to take me home. So he's just doing this on a loop.
Just over and over. Now, did he know the woman?
No.
Did he meet the woman at the bar?
No.
He just went to a random person and says, I'm going to whistle to you. Yeah. Hear my beautiful whistling.
My whistling's too damn good for you to ignore.
The whole world needs to hear it. Starting with you specifically for an hour straight.
You're number one.
You're number one. I wouldn't, but how loud and how many times did he repeat this that it prompted her to call police? Like, because whistling, I mean, I guess it could be annoying, but it has to be like really
especially
loud.
Especially late at night, you're trying to get some sleep.
But how loud was he whistling that you heard him outside?
He had to be pretty loud then.
Was he like scream whistling? I don't know.
He really loves this song.
I guess so. I want to take me home. I know.
One more kicker to this story. After police forced him to leave the woman's premises, he walked down the rest of the neighborhood drive and whistled his way back home, continuing the same song, Closing Time, by Semisonic.
Wow.
Boy, he just
really loved
this
song.
I mean, literally, as he's walking away now, he's whistling as like his outro music.
That's what it is. He was creating his own personal soundtrack.
Yes.
Haven't you ever wanted a personal soundtrack?
Yes, he thought he was in a movie.
You're like, oh man, this is where I walk off down the street and the credits roll now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah,
Thank you, officers. You've shown me the light.
You've shown me the light. The worst closing line ever. Well, it's a good thing you showed me the correct way.
Yeah.
I won't be bother anymore.
I didn't know that it was unacceptable to whistle for an hour straight, you know, after the bars closed. I thought that was, you know, something everyone does.
Thank God you showed me the light.
I'll be on my way now.
Did like freeze frame at the end of the road? Fist in the air or something?
Yeah, should have done like the Breakfast Club or something, yeah. You know?
You got a freeze frame.
End the story.
That's right.
So
this is I love this story because it's so random.
Yeah.
Like, we've never had anything like this. It's just out of nowhere. Like, a dude was whistling outside of a woman's window.
Yeah.
So much that she called the police.
And not for, like, a sexual reason or anything.
No,
he just
wanted to whistle.
Yeah, and he
just
wanted to be
annoying. The poor guy is just a whistling fiend. He loves it.
So.
Can't get enough of it.
What a man.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning.
There you go, folks. Man. That's what I have for you this week on the non-Fortune Cookie Odd
Could
News.
Not have scripted that better.
I mean, there. Yeah. How else?
That ending was perfect, though. His ending, our ending. It was perfect.
Yeah. How else am I going to end the non-Forging Cookie Odd News time. With, you know, when there's a closing time story?
I feel like we should end it that way every single time now.
Well, there is one way we do end the show for most of the podcast, and that is going over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned the two best ways to pick up women. The first is if they don't accept your advances, just drop your pants.
Yeah, sure.
That makes them go crazy.
Show them the goods.
Show them the goods. And it really works if you're 78 years old and you're wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
It's a guaranteed home run every single time.
Sure.
The other way, if that doesn't work, whistle outside their window in the middle of the night. Constantly.
Yeah.
Really loud.
Closing
always
time.
Specifically closing time.
Yeah.
Always works.
Everyone loves
guaranteed.
That song.
Guaranteed. It works 100% of the time. It works
all the time.
All the time.
100% of the time, all the time.
Yeah. There you go.
Sure.
That's how well it works. Oh. But speaking of work, though, you have to think back. You know, one of the things I learned is a classic American adage here, hard work for hard drugs.
Sure.
Right? That's something everybody needs to keep in mind. You know, you have to get a job, work hard so you can get your hard drugs. That's the American way.
Work hard, play hard.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
That's right. Truly American right there. But if you feel like the job interview isn't going well, one way to spice things up is to pull a gun on the interviewer.
Oh, yeah. That shows initiative.
It does show it. They're like, wow. Not many people would have pulled a gun on me. That shows creativity and initiative. You're one of those outside-the-box thinkers. I like you. You're hired.
There you go. Perfect.
What's the role? Child care. You know?
Okay.
Something crazy like that. Oh, but, you know, speaking of weird combinations, though, I like this combination. Squid on a bagel.
Yeah.
It's this new specialty.
A new thing.
Delicious. Absolutely love it. Highly recommend that you get some raw...
Screw bagel and lox.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Forget
that's so 1970.
Yeah, really. Now, it's all about the squid and the bagel.
Yeah.
That was so 1970. Okay.
Yeah. Take that.
I didn't realize it was that old. Oh, boy.
Is that it?
Did
I break you there?
Yeah, I think you broke me. Specifically 1970, sure. Okay.
All right, there you go, folks. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Oh, man. What an episode. I think we hit all the right notes in this week's episode.
I think we did too, but we always hit all the right notes. We never miss a note.
Yeah. We never miss a week of giving you a podcast, and that's what we try to do here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, give you the most entertaining podcast that we can every Thursday. If you want more information on our podcast, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday morning. Listen to us anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, condensed to a 1 to 2 minute promo clip that you can easily listen to on the go and share with friends and family the best bits from our little podcast. Get them addicted.
That's right. One of the newest ones, Mouth of the Llama, of course.
Yeah.
Is a great uplifting song to share with all your friends and family.
That's right.
So make sure you share that. And if you want to give us a personal shout out, if you want to get in touch with us personally on Twitter, you can find me at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitters and let us know what's up. Why not?
Tons of ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Folks, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. So, yeah, let us know what's up. Get in the contact with us and Let us know what you're putting on bagels besides squid.
Yeah, hashtag squid on a bagel.
Yeah.
Or hashtag whatever on a bagel.
Yeah, is there anything else? Let us know.
I feel like you could put anything on a bagel.
But what do you bring separately that you can spread around in case your girlfriend gets angry at you and throws it everywhere?
Mac and cheese. I like mac and cheese.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a little mac and cheese.
On a bagel?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Or covered. Being covered in mac and cheese.
Oh, covered in mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Okay. But the end of the show just got really weird.
Yeah, but there you go.
That sums up the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That'll do it for us for this week. Until then, we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.